Hey everybody, so good to be with you again this afternoon. I know this is the time of year when a lot of us are on vacation, and that's not just a good thing, that's a needed thing. Tamara and I just finished a couple of weeks where we were away, and the first week we were with all of our children, all of our grandchildren, and it made me think about that Bounty Picker Upper commercial that says, you know, it's more fun because somebody else can clean up quickly and you can enjoy the kids. That's what it's like to have grandkids. I used to love it when I was a young pastor, when I would go home and be with our kids and get to be a kid again. And it kind of felt like that on our vacation this time. Although the second week is because you need a vacation after the vacation when you do something like that, right? So we had a good time doing that. And today I'm so excited about what we're going to be talking about. I have a dear friend of more than 15 years with me, Pat Butcher. And we're going to be talking about recovering your resilience, especially whenever you're exhausted. And Pat, I can say that, you know, I've known you for a lot of years. And since I've known you, your wife loves you more than when she married you most of the time. And your two kids love you more than, you know, than they did when they were born. And it really blessed me to be with you in your community because your community loves you. I mean, you've done so much for your community and you've been at it for 35 years as a pastor. And that's a long time. That's a lot of different scenarios that you go through. And if the Apostle Paul said that he despaired to the point he almost lost heart, but Titus helped him. And, you know, if the Apostle Paul had to model and teach how to keep our resilience high, then guess what? We're probably going to have to do the same thing. If he had to do it, we're going to have to do it. So I'm so glad you're with us, Pat. I know you'd say it's a battle, not a breeze, but you prepared some great information today.
Yeah, I'm just honored to be here and to be called a friend by Jim and Tamara. Brooke and I are honored to be a part of SIG Church. And I'm 35 years in pastoring. I got a little late start, but there's a whole lot. My background and growing up on the farm, there's a whole lot of correlation between pastoring and farming. And I want to talk about today about how to stay out of the red, how to watch our gauges, how to move forward from season to season, and how to learn to have fun. So whenever Jim wants me to take off, we'll do it, and we'll work with each other, and I know God will bless.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I wrote down these nine things that are on your outline, and we're just going to shoot right down through them. But first of all, I just want people to know a little bit about you. You were raised son of a farmer in Carrollton, Kentucky. You know, you felt the call of God. What age were you when you started sensing God deal with you?
As a child, I sensed God dealing with me, but I pushed it aside. And then the 7 years I ran from God from the time I was 20 to 27, I ran from God. And then I came back to the Lord and committed myself to serve Him and really got serious about the call. So, yeah, I was raised on the farm. I still live on the farm that my grandfather bought in the early 40s. And, you know, it's just a blessing pastoring here in my hometown. It's you know, been married 31 years, have a wonderful wife named Brooke, and God had to hand deliver her to me because I wasn't really sharp enough to figure it all out. Two great kids, Carson and Alexis, and they just had a baby, and they live in Nashville, baby Lila. That's my first grandchild. And Gianna is, she's here living in town, working in town, and my mom's still living. She was weed eating yesterday and more in the yard of 88. So, it's just an honor to be in my hometown. A lot of pluses, a few struggles, but I'm happy, thrilled.
Yeah, well, you should be. Congratulations on your granddaughter. That's awesome. I had a granddaughter first, too. And when I was having kids, just to be honest, I wanted a boy first. Isn't that horrible? And then I had Andrea, and I thought, why did I want a boy first? Little girls are amazing. So right. I got a granddaughter first, and that's been awesome. You know, now Carson and Alexa, they've written some pretty good music.
They both have a music background. Alexa's been singing Christian music since she was 12. She has some noted songs. The song this year, nominated for a Grammy, Famous For, she wrote that. They have a heart to serve, and they both are musically gifted, and they live in Nashville, and that's where they need to be to make it all happen. So,
yeah, well, that's not too far away from you. That's just a few hours away.
3 hours.
Yeah. So, well, we're going to jump right into this, Pat, in just a second, and we're going to start by talking about why ministry is so satisfying but exhausting at the same time. But I want to talk to people right up front about all you're going to talk to, because I want them to hear how much help they're going to get in during this time. He's going to talk about what makes ministry so taxing. And then, you know, he's going to talk about how your family background may have trained you in ways that are positive and not so positive when it comes to ministry. He's going to talk about preparing for the long haul. And then he's going to talk about, hey, what if I'm experiencing exhaustion right now? And then we'll talk about some indicators of burnout, because a lot of people don't see it until it's too late. And then it'll talk about developing gauges in your life that are a lot like gauges on your, you know, car, on your tractor, whatever kind of machinery you're operating. And then we're going to talk about how to set those gauges. We'll talk about time management and people management, which are really the keys, even according to the Apostle Paul, of staying refreshed on the inside of our hearts. And then we're going to close by talking about just steps to recover and resilience. So what a great time to talk about this in the summertime. Before we do that, I want to quickly welcome 15 new members who have become a part of our family this last couple of weeks. And Pastor Jerry DeSalma from Needville, Texas, Carmel Church. Pastor Jeremy Empey from Bethesda Church in Oskaloosa, Iowa. Pastor William Kamwenda from Bread of Life Church in Mazabuka, Zambia. Pastor Jeff McNeil from Faith Christian Outreach Church in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. Pastor Beto Mezo from New Life Church in Mesquite, Texas. And Pastor Shel Osborne from Life Church in Smyrna, Georgia. Pastor Victor Paul from Shalom Ministries in Pradesh, India. Pastor Jeremy Robinson from Church of the Good Shepherd in Wayne, Ohio. Pastor Timothy Russell from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Hayward, California. And Pastor Matthew Sassano from Fresh Start Church in Hornell, New York. And we're so glad that all you guys have become a part, and some of you I know are probably watching, and we look forward to meeting you at exchanges. You know, exchanges are where we come together, and it's just true that we're better together. That if we take the corporate strengths of all of us, blend them together, all of our churches are going to end up so much better. And also, there's going to be somebody to be there. The Bible says we who are strong should bear with the failings of the weak. And, you know, there's not strong people and weak people. There are times we're strong and there are times we're not so strong. And that's why it's important we gather together. And some of you guys, I hope you start exchanges in your region, because pastors need to come together. And when we come together, like Jesus talked about in Matthew 18, we're going to sense His presence. We're going to see our prayers answered. And that's really what Significant Church is all about. It's a band of brothers who want to come together and help each other's dreams come true through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Pat, let's talk about it. Why is ministry so fulfilling, but it's so exhausting at the same time?
There's nothing on earth like being called to minister God's love and His word to people. There's nothing more satisfying than see people being delivered by the power of the Spirit of God and by the word of God. But also, there's nothing more taxing than people, the relentless, I would say the relentless pull on a minister today has probably never been where it is right now, with all the things going on in the earth, with the pandemic and with so much confusion and so much evil. And people, they want truth and they want answers and they want a relationship. And it's a two-edged sword. There's nothing like it. But if we don't develop balance, if we don't develop systems, if we don't develop a process, it will eat you alive. And I can testify to that after 35 years of doing it not so well and doing it somewhat better. So I want to speak to all pastors today and ministers, but especially young ones. If you'll develop a rhythm, if you'll develop a rhythm of your call and your grace, let me talk a little bit about my upbringing, my background. We never took vacations. We were blue collar. We were farmers. We worked hard. We did things and had fun, but we never had family vacations. And I grew up with that mindset that I would feel guilty if I took some time off early in ministry. You must take care of yourself. You must take care of your family. And I hate to be crude, but the truth is, churches will outlast us. And if we don't do it the way God wants to do it, if we don't do it by the Spirit of God, you and I can leave early. We can leave prematurely. We can leave either in a body bag or leave with a vote. But you can leave, and they'll be eating potato salad in the fellowship hall. And in 6 weeks, they'll struggle to remember your name. So what's that going to do?
I'll tell
you what that does. That raises kids that hate church. They hate God. They get a misunderstanding. And I'm just going to be as raw as I can and loving as I can, because I don't want you guys and girls to go through some of the stuff I did through ignorance. And let me just say this. Part of my ignorance is I did not have people I could reach out to with an open heart like I do with Jim and Tamara, which they've shared some really hardships of my life in Brooke. And they're 3 o'clock in the morning prayers. And what I mean by that, I have no problem calling Jim Graff at 3 a.m. and say, look, I'm on a ledge. I've got a situation. Will you pray for me? You have to have those kind of people in your life. Jim is one of my 12. And, Jesus operated through numbers. And he had the 12. Out of the 12, he had 3, Peter, James, and John. Out of the 3, he had 1, John. Then he had the 70. I have a John. And he literally, his name is John. I have him, but I also have the 12. And Jim is part of the 12. And even at times, he's part of my 3. I want to encourage you that we must pull down walls and trust each other as ministers. You've got to find somebody you can trust with all of your heart, with the situations of life and marriage and children and grandchildren and going through terrible attacks of the enemy. You've got to have people that I call 3 o'clock in the morning people.
Yeah. You know, Pat, when I started ministry, I'm a first generation pastor. So it was all new to me. Now, thank God my wife was raised in it, so she could help me in areas that I was just ignorant and didn't understand things. But the reality is we all do have family backgrounds that can help us and hinder us. And I just say this about ministry. It's way too big. You've got to have time. You sit back and think about it. I was talking to somebody the other day who talked about how many free days he has a year, how many focus days he has a year, and then how many buffer days he has a year as he's trying to win the grind. And, you know, we don't want anybody to hit the target of having great services but miss the target of having your son close to you when you're looking, he's getting ready to go out the door, your daughter close to you, or your daughter gets in some kind of a bad situation because balance wasn't good. And I know in our staff, we've hired a lot of people, and they'll laugh when, as we're trying to get better together, and they'll say, well, you know, most of them, but you know, I wasn't raised in a home like this. And I think for all of us, whether you were, whether you weren't, the Bible's way beyond us. So there's a lot that we can learn from this. You know, Pat, I was thinking as you were talking that whenever a fighter plane goes to war, they have another plane, and it's designed to meet that fighter plane up in the air and to give it the fuel it needs. So literally up in the air, they fuel those planes. And that's what ministry's like, isn't it? You got to have those friendships that you know how to get up there and you know how to get fueled. You know, you've got to have planned times. Could you imagine if a fighter plane went to war with no thought about anything except the war that he was in? But that's what can happen to us so many times whenever we're in the ministry. So let me ask you this question, Pat. How give us some things to help us prepare for the long haul. Just starting today, how do you prepare for the long haul?
First of all, just never entertain the opportunity to quit. Just say, I'm going to put quit completely out of my vocabulary. I'm not going to ponder it. I'm not going to think about it. Growing up as a child, I developed a lot of good things, working on the farm, you know, the crops and the cattle and the horses and the hogs, and we had it all. They never get a day off, so they have to be fed. They have to be tended to, and you have to build that into your way of thinking that this thing's not going to stop, but I have to protect myself because I can't do it. And be honest with you, guys and girls, we're biblically here to work ourselves out of a job. We're here to raise up people to do our job. So we can move from addition to multiplication. When we work ourselves out of a job and raise up leadership, we can now expand laterally, and we move from the place of adding to the church daily to multiplication of the church daily. And then to, being on the farm and growing up hot and sweaty most of the time, you have to learn where your refreshing holes are. We had holes and creeks we swam in. We some of our farms bordered the river. We would jump in. You have to have jump off places of refreshing. And that's usually tied to people that refresh you. We have to have Barnabases. We have to have sons and daughters of encouragement, because every day you have an opportunity to fall off the ledge. If you don't keep purpose with God, you don't keep purpose with your family. In 2003, he was same as a nephew. He's actually a second cousin, but I had a loss of someone very close to me. And he was 17 years old in an accident. And his dad and I grew up more like brothers than we did cousins. And I didn't handle that well. I didn't reach out to people well. And I went into an emotional habit, and it was emotional eating. And it got to a point, and I never told anybody till the last few years exactly how bad it got. It got to a point that I got to a weight of 313 pounds. And the local McDonald's and the local restaurants, they didn't even ask. They knew my voice. And they would say, "You want two of this today or one, Pastor Pat?" And that's where I got. If I had to do over again, I would approach God differently about it. And I would reach out to people that could help me deal with this emotional eating. And thank God, over the years, I'm better than I was, and I'm on the process of being healthier than ever. I'm still working on some stuff in my life, but man, I wish I had some 3 o'clock in the morning people then. They were there, I just wouldn't call out to them. So again, your family background, you're either gonna come from probably blue collar or white collar. I was very blue collar. And blue collar people usually don't understand white collar people. And white-collar people don't always understand blue-collar people. But I'm telling you, in Galatians, it says, let us not lose heart in well-doing, for in due time we're going to reap. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. One of the ways we don't give up is, like Jim says, we have those fueler people in our life. We have those fueler people that keep fueling us. They keep helping us be repaired, and they're always there. And there's times we're going to get fatigued, and there's times we're going to get tired. And it says, but we have to recognize those things. And that's where we have to be wise, to be honest with the gauges in our life, the spiritual gauges that's pointing out things. And what would you say about that, Jim?
Yeah, well, I think when you were talking, I was thinking about Hebrews, where it says we're to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. And, when you get ready to take a long trip, you don't just need a good set of tires. You need those tires filled with the right amount of air. You need them balanced. You got to prepare for that long haul. And at some point in your ministry, if you're young, you may not think this is going to happen, but I could sit here and I could talk to you, and I could share names of people who started the journey and didn't finish. And they were good people. They were wonderful people. And it's really, really sad whenever that happens. In fact, God said to Moses, he said to Moses, the way Moses was doing things in Exodus 19, he said, you're going to wear yourself out, and the people aren't going to get help anyway. And those are really our two options. Either just grind it out, don't have a good structure, or have things in place. And if we do, that word wear yourself out means you'll do something morally foolish in the Bible. So if you wonder why good people do things morally foolish, it's because they get worn out. And the devil tempts really good whenever we're tired. So we got to be careful. But then on the other hand, even if we do that, the people don't get help. So we have to be really good at coming together and planning in a way where our people realize, hey, we're all in this together. I know this week we've not only had a few new COVID cases that were serious in the church, people I love, people I'm going to call on the phone because I love them as a pastor. We had an 18-year-old who died in a four-wheeler accident. Now, he's not from here anymore. His family moved away, but the funeral's going to be here. and the family's dear to our heart, and the grandparents are still here. And as pastors, we're going through that kind of stuff all the time. So if you're feeling worn out today, chances are you need to hear some of what's going to be shared. And the first thing we're going to talk about are just the gauges that we put in place that let us know that we're tired. Pat, do you want to start telling us some of your gauges?
Yeah, just like the older vehicles we drove, we have gauges now, but they're digital. But the older gauges that, you know, had the numbers and the needles. Main gauges, you know, to keep up with the temperature of the engine, the water temperature. Main gauges, the oil pressure. Main gauges, transmission, pressure of the transmission and so forth. Those gauges there to help us understand if you continually run in the red, if you stay over in the red where you've run past the optimum RPM for your life. Let me just stop just a second on that thought and let me just say this. We as ministers have to stop comparing ourselves to others.
Yeah.
We're listening to the lies of the devil and looking over at someone else. And, you know, the gifts and the calling of God are all uniquely given unto us. And you and I are not called to be exactly like anyone else.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you know, John Mason wrote a book years ago, you know, about the enemy of average. And, you know, you're born an original, so don't die a copy. But I know one thing, growing up on the farm, if you lay over in the red very long, your engine's going to pay for it sometime.
Yeah.
It's not going to hold up. It was not built to do that. And if we're trying to be something we're not even gifted to do, we start out in the red. We try to compare ourselves and you know, out here in rural America, you know, as a whole, we're not going to have a church of thousands and thousands. Sometimes God raises up some and to help us and understand things, absolutely, as in doing that. But if you look on TV, many times the choir is bigger than your whole church. On some television shows. Guys, you got to be happy with yourself.
Yeah.
The first thing we can do with understanding gauges is understand your gauges are uniquely for you. So check the water temperature, you know. See that you're not running and not boiling over. Check your oil pressure. You can't operate on 10 or 20% pressure on oil. Something will give. The oil's not circulating. It's not. You know, and the truth is, on those old tractors before we had computers, you could smell it before you even saw it. You could smell it ain't right. Something don't smell right. And the smell will lead to something don't sound right because the engine will start messing up. And there's indicators in our own individual lives, you know, our spiritual walk, our walk with our mates, our walk with our children. And I'm telling you, I have been on both sides of it. I'm thankful for a wife that, basically, I was AWOL for early part of ministry because I just was building churches and throwing myself at that. And thank God for a woman who kept balance in the home and helped raise our children. And they've forgiven me for that time away. But I want to help all these other younger pastors. And two, I want to help us old guys finish strong. I don't want us just to lay over the finish line and flop over. I want to go over in strength and grace, and actually our best years will be our latter years. We can do this if we'll learn from God's word and learn the flow of the Spirit on how to last long and how to last strong and get a hold of the long haul syndrome.
Yeah,
the long haul syndrome.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. And you know, Pat, when you were talking earlier, I was thinking about how Jesus, he sent them out two by two. He didn't send out any Lone Rangers. And then he also taught them in Matthew 18, he said, if two or three of you will come together in my name, there I'm going to be in the midst of you. And he said, what you bind on earth will be bound in the heavens. What you loose on earth will be loosed in the heavens. And what Jesus was saying is, if you want to live anointed, if you want to keep the enemy at bay, if you want to see the Holy Spirit bring forth answered prayer, then there's a couple things you have to do. And I agree with you. Sometimes we set gauges that are like the speedometer, which are good. How many people do we want to see saved this year? How many do we want to have in our children's church and our student places in our main auditorium, all those kind of speed limit gauges. But if all you do is look at the speed limit gauge, your engine's going to get in trouble. And you may ask the engine to go further than it's capable of. We all have an engine God put in us, and those other gauges are so important. So to me, some of them are, a lot of us made this mistake, and that is Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now he said, prefer others above yourself. So, if Pat and I are going out to eat, I like to ask him, hey, what do you want to eat? I mean, that's just how good friendships work. You kind of start by wanting to always bless the other person. It goes back and forth, and you just find a good, happy medium. But it just keeps things really, really good that way. But for a lot of pastors, he said, prefer others among yourself. But he didn't say love others more than yourself. And that's why your heart is, that's why you're losing your engine on the inside, is you have to take time to be with God. That would be the first gauge to me. The second right. thing would be to love yourself. What do you love to do? I mean, I love to go home and watch a really good ball game. If I see the two high-level pitchers in the MLB are pitching, and I can just sit down and watch that game unfold, I love doing it. It refreshes me. Some people, that'd be the most boring thing in the world they could ever do. But we all have things that refresh us. I love nature. I love hiking. I love fishing. I love all that kind of stuff. But I would say the first gauge is the Holy Spirit, then love yourself. And then Pat hit this, but those three close friends. Jesus didn't say we were going to get refreshed in the midst of 1,000. But he said, when you're with a few people who know you, who love you, who are going to stick there with you, those are the people you want to be with. And I heard a term the other day I hadn't heard ever in my life, but it's called intimacy anorexia. And I thought, man, a lot of ministers suffer from that, because what it means is they don't know how to just be close to people. And, there are some friends you have, they're just better relationally than you are. They're just the glue. Wherever they are, that people are just super close to them. And you know what? They can tell you when you're getting in a little bit of an unhealthy place on your gauge if you don't keep that part strong. There's some friends that are just real strategic. Structure's easy to them. And they can step in. They can tell you if that gauge is just a little bit off. There are other friends that, execution, and they're just naturally disciplined. You know, people like that. I mean, I got a friend that every time I go out to eat with him, he's as healthy as can be. And, there's stuff I want to eat on the menu that he doesn't think I should. And it's we shouldn't be competing with each other. We should be helping each other, completing each other, live our best life, which, as Pat said, is different for every single person. So I think that's really good. I'm just going to reiterate just a little bit of it, just so we remember that recovering our resilience, it really starts with understanding that even to the Apostle Paul, it was taxing, but it was satisfying. He knew there was nothing else he could do with his life. He was born to do this. And then for us to look at our family backgrounds, for Paul, I think the brother was a little bit hard on people. I think Barnabas would agree that when he dealt with John Mark, he's just a little bit hard on people. And so sometimes we're getting worn out, and we just got to look at our family background and say, what is it about my family background that's causing this? And then after that, we start looking for our gauges, and everybody's gauges might be a little bit different. I just encourage you to develop some of your own gauges. But Pat, how did you start setting gauges in your life? How did you begin to do that?
I haven't been the best. And even at 67, I'm still setting and adjusting gauges. And, I was raised to just be all out and, give all you can and work till you fall over and get refreshed and get back up. And that's not the best way to do things. I want to tell a real quick story about trust and about understanding. When you have children, you assume they're going to be somewhat like you, good and bad and indifferent. Hopefully the grace of God and the word of God will begin to hone them and change them. My son Carson, he was my first, our firstborn, and he's always was real active, always just, you had to watch him, he moved, and you'd lose him in a mall or airport. So I had a long elastic, like a dog leash on him, because I would even get away from me. But anyway, I had to deal with some people who thought I was abusing him. I wasn't. But he was, pretty good little athlete. And I remember one time we were playing, and he was in Little League, and he pitched and he caught, and it was really, really hot, and we were ending the first game of a doubleheader, and I don't know, a Jim, who I'm talking with right now, called right out of the blue, and like friends do, and don't ever think it's a waste of time when God has a friend that loves you more than a brother or sister calls, because many of them call at the right time. And Jim said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm coaching Little League Baseball. We're getting ready to end up a game, going to a doubleheader. And he said, where's Carson playing? And it was about 98, 96 degrees. It was hot. And he had caught all game, and he's hot. And he was only like 8. And Jim said, don't catch him the double the next game. And I said, well, he's tough. He's all right. He's just sweating. He goes, his knees are not ready to do that. I said, what do you mean his knee? No one had ever told me that, because my dad caught semi-pro ball. I was a catcher. Carson's a catcher. My grandfather was a catcher. No one had ever explained that to me. You just gut it up and shut up. He says his knees are not grown to where they should be. It'll hurt his knees, and he won't be able to catch right in high school. I said, So when you have someone you trust, because Jim's a baseball guy, I hardly ever watch a game I don't think of Jim, because he's a baseball guy. I love baseball, but I'm married to football, so there's a difference. He said, it'll hurt him. I hollered over in the middle of the end of the game. I said, Carson, take your stuff off. Take your gear off. You're not catching the next game. Because that's the first time in my life I told him you're going to have to catch a doubleheader. He said, why? What's wrong? I said, your Uncle Jim said it'll mess up your knees. So everybody said, who's his Uncle Jim? Because everybody here knows who aunts and uncles are. That's the kind of relationships you have to have in ministry if we're going to make it and finish well. And to develop a long-haul syndrome, there must be clear vision, clear direction, self-awareness. And every day, the enemy will even try to add more to what you're called to do. You and I have to settle it day by day. This is what I'm called to do. This is why Five Guys is so successful. Five Guys Burgers. They don't do fish. They don't do this. They do burgers. And that's why you'll see people standing in line, and even a cardiologist at times with grease dripping out of the bag, eating Five Guys and telling people not to eat it. Because what they do well. And that's what we want to do. We want to do what we're called and equipped to do well.
Yeah. And you know, when you have good friends like that, it really, your sorrows are divided. I mean, they all take a piece of them away. You have strength to get through hard times. But your success, it's great to have success with people who are as thrilled as you are when you have your success. That's the kind of friends I have in Significant Church. And if you don't have those kind of friends, some guys have father wounds. I feel for them. They have things from their childhood. I never had a father wound. I came from a great family, but I had a family who didn't like when I became a pastor. So, and then my mom and dad died when I was 25 years old. So to have people that celebrated your successes with you, Significant Church really met a need in my life that way, and having friends like that. And it's good to see guys on in the chat room from, you know, all over the place, and so many good friends. I want to call them out, but I don't want to miss anybody who's on here. I do want to remind everybody that you can send your questions in. And to me, that's a big part of what we do, because we want to make sure everybody's questions get answered. And we work really hard on that every single time. But Pat, let me ask you this, because if you were to take the two things we're going to talk about that are critical to doing this, one of them is managing your time and your structure, and the other one's managing your relationships. The Apostle Paul said, we were despaired. We despaired of life itself. I mean, think about Elisha. He said, God, just take me to heaven. Moses said, God, I can't carry this burden. Just take it off of me. And I love the story about Paul, because Paul said, but the coming of Titus refreshed me. You're not going to solve this issue just because you get your time right, as important as that is. And that's what we talked about last week, right? We gave you the whole planning system, and we talked about managing time. And I'd encourage anybody, if that's the area that you have to work harder at, Michael Hyatt has a great book called How to Plan the Best Year of Your Life. I'd encourage you maybe get away with your spouse, buy that book, and get ready while it's still July to go and plan for the best year of your life. We put resources up on the Significant Church site that help you do the same thing. And of course, our resources are specified. I had dinner last night with Chad Hammonds from Bay City. And he's just a great guy. And he and his associate already have time marked in their calendar to get away and to get ready to have the best year of their life. So we hope those resources are a blessing. But Pat, let me talk to you about both, because me knowing you, if anything, you had to manage having too many relationships because you make friends so easy. But how did you start managing the time side?
Well, I'm still working on it, guys. That's why I'm dressed in like I am today. I normally don't go this way, but prior assignments and appointments this morning, I had to dress this way. Usually when I dress this way and come into town, people start asking who died overnight. So anyway, no one died today, thank God. I'm still working on the time thing. And let me just say this to everyone listening today. If being a part of something like SIG Church interests you, or you are a part, just for the relationships alone, it is worth all the investment of any degree. Because some of my greatest relationships have come from the involvement the last 15, 18 years with SIG Church. And it's going to boil down to two things, guys. Our understanding and revelation of who God is and who we are in Him and our purpose and our call. And that's going to be vertical. And it's going to come down to relationships. And you want to make sure you got the right people on your boat or your ship. Because when storms come, you don't want to have to go down the belly of the ship and find who is not there and throw them off when the storm's already there. And the spiritual drain that comes of giving out every day, and the emotional drain of being involved with people, and the physical drain of all those things happening has to be refreshed. And God is dealing with me about, in this time we're living in, of redigging some wells. I let the Philistines fill up.
Good.
And then digging some new ones I've never seen before. We're in the process now of renovating the whole church. And we just tore out carpet this morning that's 28 years old. And I wanted to cry because I could see every square foot of something that had happened in 28 plus years of ministry. But God said it's a new season. Not only do I want you to rip it out, I want you to throw it out the back in a dumpster. And while we're doing it, I want you to paint this and we're redoing everything because we're stepping into a new season, guys. And there's certain things that'll carry through ministry forever, but I'm telling you, there's some new things that's going to happen and is beginning to happen around the world and will happen in America if we will ride with God and do what He wants to do to reach people. So finding time alone, making those things, refills. I'm learning how motivation is changing my life and redoing things. And so anyway, Jim always blesses me because Jim's he's a strategist. I'm just kind of like, well, let's go start a fire and see if we can burn something. That's not always good.
Well, you know, as you were talking about that, I was just thinking about years ago. You know, my dad had a heart attack when I was 15 years old, and he had the Widowmaker, so he lost about a third of his heart. Changed my life dramatically, because even how he related to me changed at that point, because he started talking to me more about things that he realized he wasn't going to be there just take care of me. And so I had him another 10 years. Doctors, it was year by year in their mind. But when I was young, I had an opportunity to get in with the heart doctor of Dr. Ed Young Sr. at Second Baptist in Houston. And there were three people that were on the forefront of heart surgery. They were Dr. DeBakey, Dr. Cooley, and Dr. Leachman. And this doctor's Dr. Leachman's son. And so I was real blessed to become a part of him. The reason I did it was because if I ever need heart surgery, he's not going to do it unless you're one of his patients. So I got in there. And that's the way to think about our friendships. I mean, my heart's healthy, thank the Lord. And I go see him every year, and he just gives me a thumbs up. But That's the way to do it, isn't it? To get those, and I'm going to have you help us with this, Pat, those three friends in place and then those 12 friends in place. Of course, John Nuzzo is your best friend. We all know that. You two are joined at the hip, you know, and have been a huge blessing. It blessed me even how God spoke to Brooke. But that's what God does for friends. You're in it together and the Holy Spirit speaks. Talk to me about the three friends and how are they important to your life to keep your resilience and to keep you strong?
Well, the three friends, what I found out that they're going to be different. You don't need a twin or a triplet of the same thing, the same kind of ice cream. You're going to have friends that one might be way more spiritual in helping you plan and purpose your life. One might be really good on helping you with your marriage and raise your kids and grandkids. And one just might be fun. You know, we need to understand the power of laughter and humor and fun again in ministry. You know, another reason I love to go to anything we do together with Sig is because we always have fun.
Yeah,
we all laugh and we have fun, and you can go ride a boat or you can play golf or you can swim with the seals, whatever you want to do. You can have fun. And there's a lot of ministers, they just don't smile anymore.
Yeah,
they're just the burden has overtaken them.
Yeah.
And they don't see any way out except death. And that's not good, guys. That's not good. We need to have some I have some spiritual sons that's been somewhat raised up in the faith, and I love them, and you know, I just call them, tell them I love them. And even when they're knuckleheads, I say, I love you anyway.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so proud of them. But I've encouraged them. Take vacations, plan, get the board to give you a month off.
Yeah.
Let's do things. Let's go to spiritual refillings. Let's go to fun refillings. Let's have fun doing this. This burden's supposed to be light and not heavy. But ministry can grind you in the ground if you don't get on top of it.
Yeah, it does for sure. And you said something important, and that is what refreshes you spiritually. You know, like for me, when I wake up in the morning, I like listening to worship songs. I listen to them on the way into work. When I get home from work, I like listening to 1970s music. I've got my music on there, and I'm not refreshing my spirit anymore. God's talked to me. We've had a great day. I'm enjoying my wife and my kids, and I'm listening to songs that I love, because there's also an emotional side to you, and you're not going to refresh yourself emotionally the way that you know, refresh yourself spiritually, then physically. And for me, I've always, you know, God says 6 days shall you work. And I believe the preacher said to some people that slow down, but to a whole lot of folk, it speed up too. And I like working hard and seeing things come to pass. But I do honor Sabbath because I need physical rest. The way I'm wired, I'll drive myself. And then I do take, you know, realistic vacations and just make sure I stay fresh, because really, a vacation for me is part of all three of those, a really good vacation. Part of it's just having time with God, uninterrupted, no meeting to get to, just able to take a walk all day and just talk with Him and do whatever I need to do. Part of it's physical, doing things you like to do. I climbed to the top of a mountain one day, and you guys are going to laugh at this, but I lost a toenail. And I'm doing something stupid, and I dropped something on my foot, so I got there, and all I could wear are sandals right now because I can't put pressure on the top of my toe. And I thought, you know what? Jesus climbed the Caesarea Philippi in sandals. And I thought, I'm going to put some socks on. I'm going to grab my sandals, and I'm going to see if I can get to the top of this mountain. It was so much fun, just physically for me to push myself on that 8-mile little trek that I took, and then to tell my wife I did it. That was really a big deal. But, you know, and then just relationally, you know, it's work to do that. It's work to keep your gazes like that. And I think it is important that you have those three friends that are even different. I know Tamara said, she said, you hang out with a lot of people different than you. And I said, you're right, I do. I said, I need them. I need them to be gauges in my life. How about the 12, Pat? What are those guys like?
Now, the 12 have to be going where you're going. They won't be probably as intimate or intristic as the three and the one, but they have to be heading the same way, same direction we're going. And they have to be experiencing life to some degree that you are. Either they've experienced it or ahead of you, or they're coming behind you. I want to encourage people not to be afraid of connecting at this level with really old people and really young people. Because I'm telling you, old people have so much wisdom. Just the wisdom they pass out and pass down is tremendous. And the young people have so many ideas and zeal and just energy. And if you're in the middle, caught in the middle, you know, just think about finishing strong and long. And that means we're going to hone ourselves down to do less and less. Think about being a DH the last 10 years of your ministry and just put in positions to drive the ball deep, to move the base runners, just to focus on, I don't have to get out in the field, I don't have to run down singles anymore, but I am going to focus on, as our tools, listen, as our tools not necessarily diminish, but become more singular in what we do, let's do them so well that people will be asking you to do that for them and helping them to develop strong DH programs as we grow old.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking today, I thought about that scripture where Paul said that there are people who have many teachers, but they don't have any fathers. And that's really true in the ministry. There are a lot of people who have teachers. Some of those teachers, you know, they admired from a distance. Some of those teachers, they've read their books and they've gleaned things and they'll talk to you about, you know, what they learned. But you'll be with them. And I traveled and I did a lot of meetings, pastors' conferences where I'd, you know, speak to church and the pastors that pastor is connected to them. I'd all go to dinner afterwards. And the truth is there's just a deep desire for people to have a family. And to me, again, that's what Significant Church is about. If you want to join our family, we want to help you. But if, you know, regardless, I want to just encourage you to find a family. Because I can tell you that with baseball, I helped my kids a whole lot more than I helped any other kid who was out on the field. I did help other kids. I helped coach. I did things. But your kids, you have more time with them. You talk with them more. You do things with them. And ministry is kind of the same way, that it's one thing to get teaching. It's another thing to have a family. Or, you know, I'll never forget just talks my dad had with me. You know, one time I got in an argument with my mom and I won. And I was feeling real self-satisfied. I went into my bedroom and I put on the music, little headsets, because I played my music too loud and they didn't want me to play it in the whole house. And my dad knocked on the door and he said, I want to talk to you for a minute. And I said, okay. He said, you know you were wrong at the dinner table tonight, right? I said, what do you mean? I said, Dad, you know I was right. You know what I told Mom was right. He said, well, he said, if you're talking about logistically the argument, you're right. You were right. But he said, if you're right, then God's wrong. He said, because God said one of the Ten Commandments is honor your mother. And I didn't feel you honor her around the table tonight. And then he said, and I just want to talk to you about what honor and favor mean in your life. I don't want you to be like the kid I saw around the dinner table tonight. Now, you know, someone's not going to do that unless they really love you, unless they trust you, unless there's a really, really good relationship. And we have ministry issues like that. People burn out because, you know, they don't have anybody that when those incidents are happening, nobody's eyes on them, nobody cares deep enough. And to me, that's what it means to not just have a teacher and teachers, but you got a family who's in it with you. And they're going to talk to you whenever those blind spots, you know, that have the potential to hurt you end up coming into your life. And I've had brothers do that with me in Significant Church, and I'm grateful for it. You know, I do have one rule, though, I want to encourage you in, and that is I never correct anybody that I don't invite to correct me. Because, you know, you lose friendships if someone's correcting somebody all the time. And the healthy way is about 5 affirmations, lots of support, lots of getting behind people. But then if you really love somebody, I've heard this said before, that love without truth is brutal. It's brutal to say you love somebody and then let them do things that are going to harm themselves and you don't help. But truth without love is hypocrisy. If we say that we are followers of Jesus who said that the highest goal is to love one another, if we're just throwing truth at people and not loving them and caring about the condition, that's hypocrisy. But listen, love and truth is necessary to mature us. And good friendships help us stay in that place where we stay resilient because we're connected to God and we're connected really well to people. Pat, talk to me just a minute. I've lost my resilience. My heart is really, really tired. There are days like Paul, I'm despairing of life. I don't feel like going to the office. I need an overhaul. What do I do?
Well, I think first of all, we, according to the word, we just need to come before the Lord and first of all, repent of trying to do it ourselves. A lot of times our weariness comes from trying to work out spiritual truths with our flesh and our unrenewed mind, and just get back into a place of getting under the refreshing of God and His word. And then secondly, ask God, you know, where have I missed it? With myself, with my wife, with my kids, with the church, and what you can correct, correct. And then third, find somewhere who will celebrate you, some place, someone, and love you for who you are, and not what people think you are. And just let God begin the healing process and take away and add to as He would lead.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, guys, again, we do this over lunch. I know a lot of y'all gather your staff and you let the wisdom of this be multiplied. But this really was birthed in my heart because of all the help I got at lunch. I'll be real, first generation pastor, I would go out and sometimes the failures or the things I wish were better in the church, I'd take it so personally. Then I'd sit around a table with a bunch of guys and I'd say, hey, we're all in this ball game together. We all have this stuff going on. And we're going to be better together if we share it and if we do it. So, Pat, thank you so much for being with us today. And we always get you done before 1 o'clock if you're in Central Time, 2 o'clock if you're East Coast. And, of course, that means noon Mountain Time and 11 a.m. if you're on the West Coast. And if you're in Africa and you're live today, I haven't figured out, you're like 8 hours ahead of us. So I guess we're putting you to bed tonight as a part of this webinar. But I'm going to have you pray for the guys before we close. Before Pat prays for you, I want to let you know in 2 weeks, we do it every 2 weeks, we're going to have Pastor Joe Caminiti Jr. with us. And he's going to talk about the question we're all asking. And that is, where do we go from here? There's 5 questions we're going to talk about that now that we're in this COVID world and we're getting ready for the fall in our churches, where do we go? So let's be ready to come. And again, I love it when you use the chat room. I love it when we just help each other. Even if you do what Mike Ewald did, I don't know if you saw this, Pat, but Mike asked, is my oil pressure gauge, is that the anointing, my oil pressure gauge? So he's just making everybody laugh on this chat room. But it's good to connect. And Pat, if you just take a minute and pray us out, I'd appreciate it, buddy.
Amen. Father, we just thank you today for the call. Lord, we're sons of the house and in some cases, ladies of the house in leadership roles. We just thank you for the call. You've called us out to serve you. And we thank you for that and we recognize that. And Father, I lift up everyone today listening and I thank you that it just takes one word from heaven with your revelation on it, released to change things. I thank you for the courage to change things. I thank you for the courage to put a declaration to things. I thank you for the courage, Lord, to drive up and let ourselves be lifted up on the rack like a vehicle and let the Holy Ghost walk around our lives with us and say, that's leaking. That has some wear. We're going to have to add some fluid. That needs to be realigned, and we can handle this for our ministries, for most importantly, our marriages, and most importantly, our individual walks. But Father, I thank you. We're going to finish strong and finish long. We are going to see a well-oiled and anointed life last for a long time and finish strong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, hey, thank you for being together with us today. And man, just encourage you. Don't get discouraged. Don't let discouragement reign in your heart, because God's dream can't come true if we let discouragement reign in our hearts, right? And the truth is, if you take all the people in the body of Christ, and if you look at all the places they worship, there's a lot more people worshiping in small churches, mid-sized churches, than there are in the big churches. So we got to keep My dad loved the little guy, and I feel like I am the little guy. And God's got to keep us little guys strong, right, so that he can do the great work that he's dreaming about doing in our country. And we know still to a great degree, as America goes, so goes the world. So thank you for taking time. I know how busy you are, and look forward to being with you guys in a couple of weeks.